Well, what a day to be in the house of the Lord. I love it. So glad to be with all of you. I am thankful to the Lord that it is going to be in the 80s, I think, today. Beautiful outside. I want to encourage you, don't go home and just stay in your house. Do something outside. Get a chair. Sit, lay in the grass. I wouldn't do that. I would get all itchy, and I would, oh, that would be terrible. But anything beyond that, be outside in God's creation. It is so much fun, and I love these months as we get into a little bit more of summer, and nothing quite like it. Well, a few quick announcements this morning. We have some big things coming up this week, including prayer emphasis Tuesday morning, always 7 to 8 o'clock. On Thursday for our National Day of Prayer, we're going to have prayer here from 9 to 10:30 on Thursday morning, and then from 7 to 8:30 on Thursday evening, and would love to have you join us for those special day of prayer on Thursday. And then on Saturday morning is our Saturday morning once a month prayer time from 9 o'clock to 11. So lots of opportunity to come to pray, to find some time to meet with your church family in prayer. And I want to encourage you on this National Day of Prayer week, why don't you figure out Tuesday morning, Thursday evening, or Saturday morning, at least try to come to one. What a great time, and we would love to have you join us. Just so you know how those generally go, about half of the time we have individual, you just kind of walk around, sit, pray, do your own thing, and then about the other half of those times we will circle together and pray wherever the Lord would lead us, some guided, and some just, Lord, what do you want to say? And so we love those times of prayer. We also always have Wednesday evening. I talked about a few minutes ago. We love Wednesday evenings. Get in the Word. Get to hear what God has. Get to hear some different voices speak as well. And as always, always thankful for our team that does so great in leading. Pastor Ethan, last week, thank you for leading us and for preaching, bringing the Word last week. And Wednesday nights are a blast. So we're looking forward to all of that. Also, this weekend is Young Adult Retreat. All of our young adults, get signed up. Talk to Pastor Ethan, Abigail online. You can go. You can get signed up for that. It's going to be a great time. Men in the House Radiant Life Golf League is coming here May 9th. It starts. And if you want to be a part of the golf league, the only prerequisite is, I guess you don't have to be able to, but probably if you can hit the ball at least somewhat in a general direction. If you can do that, you're good. Come on out. But we're going to have a great time at our men's golf league. And so we need you to sign up so we can get everything moving on that. And then our first night is May 9th. And then two more big announcements is on Friday, May 10th, we have our adult Seek the Spirit night, which in the past we've called a Holy Spirit night or Pentecost rally if you've been with us a long time. And we want to invite all of you, save the date, get it on your calendar, May 10th at 7 o'clock. This is a special regional gathering. We will be here with churches from all around the Columbus area. And so we are hoping to have 10, 15, maybe even 20 churches that are going to be joining with us. We're part of the Assemblies of God, and Region 6 is the Greater Columbus area or region, and we're going to be joining with churches from all over to worship Jesus and really go after Holy Spirit and see what he might say. I'm super pumped because Pastor Christian Bucher, who was our youth pastor 5 years ago or whatever that was, he is going to be here bringing the Word. They are seeing revival in Lima, Ohio, seeing many people come to know the Lord, be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be coming to bring the Word for us. So be sure, get that on your calendar. Do not miss it. It's going to be a great worship time. People from all over the Columbus area are going to be leading as well. Just a great Region 6 event, and love to have you be a part. On the same night, we are starting our Bible Adventure Days for our kids, grade kindergarten through fifth grade. Now, that night, we'll have nursery, the whole thing. But how many of you have kids, or you are a kid, that are kindergarten through fifth grade in the house? You have people in your house that are those ages. There's more of you. Thank you. Thank you. They're going up. We want you to bring your kids to this awesome Bible Adventure Days. We have some guest speakers that are going to be coming to join us, and their heart is to talk about Holy Spirit and how these kids, our kids that are right over there right now, how they can walk in the power of Holy Spirit in their school, where they are in their life, and maybe they'll even be better equipped to be obedient parents. That would be great as they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But we would love to see your kids be a part. Starts Friday night during our Seek the Spirit event, and then Saturday morning, 9 o'clock to 2, and then Sunday morning, their regular scheduled kids church time will be that time with our special guest speakers. And so if you could, parents, Could you sign your kids up? Let us know. We just need to get a number so we know and we can have all of the leaders that we need to make that the best time possible. And with that, if you say, hey, you know what, I could help with kids ministry for those 3 days or for one of those days, please reach out to Jamie Badshelter. She sent a thing to all of you, to parents and to a big group of you, and we would love to have you help to be able to pour into these kids for this special Bible Adventure Days. You can check all the other announcements online, radiant.family, or your Church Center app. You can also give online or through Church Center app or in the black boxes as you exit this morning. Or if you're at home, you can always mail in a check as well. And we're just thankful for your faithfulness. Just this last week, we had a missionary who they are stepping into retirement. I think they're in their 70s, and we've been supporting them for years and years and years. In fact, recently we had a missionary that we supported for over 40 years, which we were their first pledge that was given to them, and we got to support them from beginning all the way until they retired. They're also in their, I think, late 60s or early 70s. And that only happens because of the faithfulness of a giving church. And so we believe in the principles of tithe, of giving that 10% off the top and then going over and above in missions. And wow, thank you for your faithfulness. We just get to hear of what God is doing. And so thankful last week and about once a month celebrating a missionary so you know what is happening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Every nation, every soul. That's what we believe. Well, today we are going to jump in to a brand new sermon series. And you could almost call today the prologue. This kind of is going to get us ready so that next Sunday we can really jump in. And that sermon series is going to be on the book of Genesis. And I am excited for this sermon series. In fact, Pastor Brian, thank you. I forgot my best friend's name. That's tough. That's a tough moment, I think. I don't think he's in here, hopefully. So, wow. Thank you, Ethan. That's why he sits on the front row. Pastor Brian and I have been talking for 2 years about the thought of really walking through the book of Genesis, thinking through what can we learn and experience. And in fact, if you've read the book of Genesis, you know there is so much in the book of Genesis, from creation to covenants and all of these things. It is so rich and so full of what God has. In fact, we cannot understand the Bible without the scope of Genesis and understanding. And so we are going to be looking at this amazing book here for a good chunk of this year, I think. There'll be some breaks in the middle, but we're going to really go through and see what God would speak. I'm excited next week, going to be talking about creation, and the following week, going to be talking on Mother's Day about man and woman and what God did there and how he set it all up. And then we'll just continue on from there. But before we even dive into Genesis 1, before we dive into creation, I think we have to kind of step back and say, what do we really believe about the Bible? Because if we don't believe the Bible, or if we don't know what we believe about the Bible or what the Bible is, we miss the whole thing anyways. It doesn't matter, truly. In fact, if the Bible doesn't matter, then what we're doing is a great fellowship time and we get to have some good moments, but it really doesn't make any difference if the Bible is not true and real and powerful. And so this morning, I just want to take the next 30 minutes or so to talk about the Bible, to talk about what we need to bring with us or come to the Bible with, what that looks like. And my prayer is if you have served the Lord, maybe like some of those missionaries for the last 40 years, and you love Jesus and the Word of God is everything, or maybe you're here today and like, oh, this will be interesting. This is newer. Maybe even you'd say, you know, I'm not even a follower of Jesus yet. For you, I just want to throw out a couple things before we even jump in today. The first is that I love and I'm so thankful that Jesus, all throughout the Word of God, he wants to walk with you and he wants a relationship with you. And we use the word discipleship. He just wants to walk with you whether you honor him and serve him or not. Now, I'm going to be real. As pastor of Radiant Life Church, I would throw in the yet. Whether you serve him yet. Because I believe if you stick around long enough, and definitely if you get into the Word, that there'll be a day where he keeps knocking on your heart's door. And you'll see, I want that. I need Jesus in my life. But even before we're ready for that, every one of us had a journey pre-Jesus, the discipleship journey before we chose him. is I want you to know today that if you take the principles of this Bible, the truth of this Bible, and you live it out, even without a relationship with Jesus, your life will be better than it was before. Your life will be transformed even without Jesus. However, I also want to be sure, and some people are nervous right now, like that's something. When you experience Jesus through his Bible, through his word, through his love for you, then I guarantee you there will be a time when you say, oh, I don't only want the principles and the good things of the Bible, but I need the Jesus of the Bible. I need relationship with that God. I need the creator, not just to be someone that I get some things from, but I want to know and cherish who he is. I want to commune with him. I want to talk with him. I want the word of God not just to be something I read or a book, but to be life to me. And I believe so strongly, once again, that that's what will happen, that I say, hey, if you don't know the Lord, start reading that Bible, because I believe with all my heart, Jesus will keep knocking on your heart. He'll call you. In fact, you're here today. He's already started. And he loves you. And we are good with that as long as that journey needs to be. But when he calls and when you're ready, say yes to Jesus and don't delay, because he is the best. In fact, when you walked in this morning, it said one more for Jesus. And that is what Radiant Life Church is entirely about, is one more person receiving Jesus, the love of Jesus. And if that's here in Dublin, Ohio, or if that's through Every Nation, Every Soul, or missions giving away money to the ends of the earth, that is who we are. That is what we are about. So this morning, we're going to dive in. And if you say, I am a follower of Jesus, or you say, I am open, these are things that we as followers of Jesus, we better come to the Bible with. The first is a knowledge that there is a God. There's something about faith to believe, and when we walk with Jesus and his word, it may start as a question. It may start as a, I'm trying to find if there's a God. I'm trying to find what this looks like. I'm trying to find if there is a creator. But when we come to relationship with Jesus, that answer has been answered, right? We have said yes to Jesus. How we find Jesus? Through his word. Absolutely. The word of God becomes real in our life. And that's what Genesis and then the rest of it truly is all about. But in the word itself, we see a few different places, actually a bunch, but we're just going to read a couple this morning that speak to this knowledge that there is a God. In Psalm 19, 1 through 4, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. What is it saying? The knowledge, the amazing nature of who God is. It is declared by the heavens. The goodness of who God is revealed to us in creation. And I'm so thankful for the opportunities to experience the goodness and the power of God just through the world that he lays in front of us. And if we jump up to Romans 1, verse 20, it says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. In the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. There is an understanding from the word of God that we experience God in creation. This last year in 2023, I don't know that I'll ever travel as much as I did in that year. It was crazy, but I had the opportunity to experience the absolute vastness and then densely populated people in India. Got to experience God in the, just what an amazing place, beautiful, all that there was. Got to experience God in Israel. My dad, he always said when he went to Israel, lots of rocks, lots of rocks. That's what you see in Israel. Whether they're buildings that you're looking at, that's what you go to do. It's lots of rocks. Or whether you just look, there's lots of rocks, lots of desert, lots of brown. And it's kind of amazing that even in that and in the process here over the last 10 or 20 years specifically, they have been through research and through all of the knowledge they have Israel is more green than it has ever been because there are more people and they're working and doing amazing things with water and how they disperse it. So now it is greener than ever, and they now grow many things and actually make and raise a lot of money for people through growing, where before that seemed almost impossible in the way that they do now. Technology, it is amazing to see the land of Israel. We got to see the Rocky Mountains in Canada and in the United States. And I just want to tell you, if you're ever in the Rocky Mountains in the United States, you just need to get your passports if you don't have them. And you need to go north because it's better in Canada. It's not touched. It is amazing. The most beautiful place I think I've ever seen in my life is the Rocky Mountains in Canada. And when you're in these locations, then we're in Africa twice, actually, and what that's just an entire different thing. I'll tell you what, a safari in Africa, if you don't experience God, you're not looking for him. Just being there, seeing right after a lion literally got a zebra, killed the thing, and then gutted the inside of it was amazing. Like, I don't know if that was the spiritual moment or not, but overall, I'll tell you another spiritual moment in that was watching Pastor Ethan bat away flies. He was about to lose his mind with all these flies. It was just, wherever you are, the glory of God is revealed. And I want to tell you something. When you go outside this afternoon, because you're not going to go just sit in your house this afternoon, don't do that. Open your eyes and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that I should see? What is it that I could see? What is it that I could learn from your creation? And what is it that I could see of the heavens of your glory? Because when we go into situations with the understanding of, Lord, I want to see you, you do, and you will. A few, maybe a month ago, or whenever the eclipse was, I had all of our staff come out to our house, and I was like, hey, let's do this. And I'm going to be real with you. I might have told some of them. I thought it was going to be underwhelming. I had seen, I guess, eclipses, but not full eclipse in the past. And I was like, I don't understand why everyone's making such a huge deal out of it. Like, I'm just being real. Until this moment when the sun fully was eclipsed. And then I said, oh my. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. It was absolutely amazing. It was one of those moments where all of a sudden you say, people think that two nothings banged together and that this all came from that. There's no way. Our God, the creator of the universe, is so good and powerful and could have a spiritual moment looking through these black glasses things that can't see anything unless you're looking directly at the sun and you're like, this is awesome. And then being able to take them off during that few moments, like, oh, what an amazing moment that was. God wants to reveal himself to you in the big moments that might only happen one time in your lifetime. And he wants to reveal himself into the little teeny things. Maybe when you're on a walk and you see some bug on the ground and you see what's happening, you say, Lord, you are so magnificent and wonderful. You can experience God. You see him even before we get to the Word, even before we get to Holy Spirit speaking and guiding. Just open your eyes and be amazed at the power of God. And when we come to the Word of God, we must come with the knowledge that there is truly a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you and sent his Son Jesus to die for you so that you don't have to take the weight of the sin that you have done on yourself. Jesus has already done it because you can't do it. He's got you. We know God exists because we live in a world that shows his purpose and intelligence. Open your eyes to the wonder of who he is. The next thing we see is we have a belief that God has spoken to us. And when we look at his word, we must believe with all our heart. He has given his word to us. And I'll tell you what, the way that you can know that his word is real and active and powerful is obviously his word says it. And so once you're a believer, that makes it easy. But if you're not there yet, is read his word and watch his word become so real and powerful in your life even before, because it's true. He's so good. There's a belief when we come to the Bible that he has spoken to us. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says, if I can find it, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. When I think of God speaking to us, his word, the powerful word of God, inspired word of God, it's profitable. It's profitable for you. You need that word in your life. It's profitable for doctrine. You need this word so you can know what you believe and who you are. You need this word to be in you, and you need maybe some people at times to come and help and give guidance. But what you need more than anything is this word and you and Holy Spirit to sit together and to talk with God and to listen to God and to say, Lord, your word is becoming real and powerful. And what I thought or I heard somebody say that I disagreed with, all of a sudden I see it in your word, and now I love it, and it becomes who we are, his word. Not somebody else telling you, but his word and you. Powerful. He's spoken to you. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction. Church, are you in a place where you say, Lord, I want the word of God to correct and to change me and to make me look different? Or do you want the word of God to make you feel better and help you when you need something? It's very different. And if we come to the word and we say, what you have spoken, what his word has spoken, I believe that it's there for reproof and it's there for correction, then Lord, today I don't want to leave your word without you telling me, hey, let's not go there anymore. Let's do it a little different. In fact, repentance is going one way and turning literally around the other direction. When I give my life to Jesus, who I was, what I thought, any of that, I give it to God. I repent, and Lord, what do you want? I'm in for you. I'm in. I want the correction of the word of God in my life. I need instruction. I need to know where to go. I'm not looking for the way to go from some bestseller's self-help book. I'm not looking for the way to go from some life coach or counselor, although sometimes they can be helpful if they're Christian and leading you in that process towards Jesus. What I need is I need the power of the gospel instructing me and telling me where to go. And can I encourage you, church, if you come to church for these things from your pastor, that's not what we're talking about. That's good, and it can be a small part, but you need to get alone with the God of the universe who still speaks through his word and through his Holy Spirit. You need to get alone with Jesus. And you know what? If you want my preaching or your life group to go better, or somebody else's preaching, or if you want it to be better, you know how you get it better? You get in the Word of God yourself. Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday too. You get in it yourself. And all of a sudden, when a word is given, you're like, hey, I just read this and this makes sense with this. And the book of Genesis even specifically is the foundation for everything. And you start reading Genesis and you start understanding the Old Testament and you start understanding not only where I am in the Bible, maybe in the Gospels, but now it's so different. And you say the depth of his word is powerful. The depth of his word is life-changing. But if you don't know his word, you can't get that depth. Instruction in righteousness. We need him. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is how you get there. All scripture, the word of God completes you. If you're breathing in the room today, you need the word of God. If you feel like there's holes and there's issues and there's problems in your life, you need the word of God to fulfill you and to make you whole. Now, when we think about the word of God and we think about so much that is in the word and how do I understand and what does this look like, I just want to make this super, super clear. We believe the Bible must be understood literally. It is for us the truth of the word of God. That is as straightforward and true according to its literary context. Now, the word context sometimes is tough because we want to take the word of God and we want to say, in America, more specifically Dublin, Ohio, in my house, in my thing, I want to take what is said and I want to put it in my context. And that's not exactly it. Context of what was going on. Context of the people that were here speaking to a literal audience, a literal people, and a literal word. But the Word of God is not something that we say, it doesn't matter. Or, no, the Word of God, I'm going to take it literal for what it says. In fact, when we think of Genesis, if you say, Pastor, how do you read these? I read Genesis 1:1. I read it, and I say, what does that mean for me today? What does that look like? God created the heavens and the earth. You want to know how this whole thing came about? It's because our God created it. You know how I know? Because that's what the Bible says. And so often we want to create crazy things that make an understanding almost impossible. And God just gave us his word so that we can understand what he's put here in these words. In fact, Morris, he says the only proper way to interpret Genesis 1 is to not interpret it at all. That is, we accept the fact that it is or it was meant to say exactly what it says. The literal word of God. When it says something direct, I'm going to believe it and walk directly into what God has given me. So all of the context and all of the things, yes, we are going to grow and learn. And how do they all go together? But Lord, I want your literal word to become real to me. Now, when we think about the word, there's also things in the Bible, like this great psalm from David in Psalm 6:6. It says, all night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. This is poetic, right? He did not actually sleep and get washed away because of his tears. And there's poetry. There is prophecy. There is history. There's things that are a part here in the Word of God that we take for what they mean. And still today, when I read Psalms and I read poetry, what am I supposed to receive and get out of that poetry? I can feel what David felt because David wrote about what was going on inside of him. Each literary genre I can take and put that into my life because it's meant for you and me still today as we understand what David was going through or each writer. Psalm 119:128 says, therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. With great confidence, the psalmist proclaimed the inerrancy of God's word. It was right, not wrong. It is true. It is powerful. When we look at the Bible, when it gives us history, we can know that it is true, that it is right. When we look at the Bible and it gives us poetry, we can know it is true and right and reveals to us what the nature and heart and mind of God is in those areas, that how we should feel. When we look at the Bible, it tells us of God. We can know that it is true and right. We can look at the Bible. We can receive, and it gives us instruction. We can know that it's what we're called to take and to put into practice in our life today. And if we come and we come to the Word of God and we say, well, I don't like that, or I don't like how that goes, we don't take it literally for us today, then we can look at the church world today and how certain churches have decided that when something doesn't fit into culture or into society, the Word of God, then they begin to change it or turn it or make the Bible different. And church, there's no space to take with the words of God, his true words, and to turn them and warp them because it would be easier to fit into culture. Because the Word of God directly would say the opposite. That's not who we're called to be. We're called to be children of God. And in a world that we live in right now, I want to encourage you, not what is easiest for you when it comes to your walk with Jesus, not what makes your life just the most simple, but instead, Lord, what does your word say, and how do I align my life with the word of God? Because what seems simple now or easier now, long term, that is not the word. Long term, that leads to sin, means it leads to death, and it will not be what's easy long term. But so often right now, the easy thing is not the best thing. And so often right now, the hard work of, Lord, I'm going to put the truth of the gospel first, it's so worth it long term, but it's tough in the short term. And especially if you're here and you say, my friends, maybe with society issues, homosexuality or gender issues and all of the things that we're walking through. My friends, my family even, maybe even a child or a mom or a dad or a son or daughter. The word of God does not change because someone around us has an issue or has a sin issue in their life. And the word of God also does not change, that you are called to love them and care for them, and that God will give you a word of how to interact and to share the truth of the gospel. But we must let the truth of God, of his word, speak through us, because we know he is still speaking to us. The power of God. He is so good and righteous and holy, and we need him to move in our life. The Bible is right and true in every genre, topic, field, and principle. And truly today, if there's areas or parts that you'd say, I don't like that part, or I'm not living that way, it's time to commit yourself one more time to the Word of God. Remove those things from your life. As we continue on this morning, we see that coming to the Bible, we need a knowledge that there's a God, a belief that God has spoken to us. And let's just take a moment, a nod to the manuscripts that we hold. The word that we have, maybe you have, in fact, if you have your Bible or you have the YouVersion Bible app, which is amazing, in fact, that's a great representation that you can pick one of many translations, many, many, many translations. But the manuscripts that I want to talk about first are not our translations, but going way back before that, when even Genesis was written, and then the Gospels were written, and all of the word that we have, Greek and Hebrew, most written in those languages, we don't read Greek and Hebrew, almost any of us, maybe none of us in the room, so we have our translation, but before that, there's manuscripts. And when you think of thousands of years and the process of that, we also do not have original documents of the original manuscripts. That would be amazing. Like, that would be super amazing. There's also been no book that has been so kind of torn apart, if you want to say, or trying to find the negative things that could be in the Bible, or not in the Bible, but that it's not true or right or accurate. And it was so much fun being in Israel last year, where we got to see where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. First of all, if you've ever seen pictures, literally you're driving down a road and the Dead Sea Scrolls are like, they're there. I mean, it's right there. I mean, not them, but the caves. And a kid was just out with his sheep and throwing a rock, and it went in and broke a vase. And that's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were. And then they looked and found all of them in all of these different places. Like, amazing. Then they've been looking at it, and they've been finding where this community was. But those Dead Sea Scrolls really brought an emphasis to the fact that what our documents are so accurate over the history of time. Now, Jewish scholars, and they're passing down, and scribes, and passing down the manuscripts were so accurate. We can know this about the New Testament by knowing that because of early manuscripts and a great number of ancient manuscripts, the New Testament is by far the most reliable and exhaustively cross-checked ancient document that there is. No more than 1/1000th of the New Testament is in question. Little teeny portions, and in fact, in your Bible, you may find a spot that says some of the earliest manuscripts do not include. And there might be like a verse or three verses or seven verses or a portion. Normally, that is some sort of an explanation of or a continuation of what was already there. Very, very small amounts. The word that we have is so accurate and so true. The manuscripts we hold are amazing duplicates of the original text. And I feel so good about that, right? Because we need the true word of God and we have it. But then I want to take another moment and describe or explain a little bit our translations. I get asked all the time, what Bible translation should I use? Or is there one that's bad or one that's good? Or I use the English Standard Version, the ESV. My dad, for all time, has used the New American Standard Bible, or the NASB. There are a whole bunch. I used to use the NIV translation, which is a good translation. There's the King James Version, if you are into Old English, great. Or the New King James Version, making it a little bit easier to understand. These are not original manuscripts, right? These are English. That's not what they are. It is scholars and people putting it together, understanding the Hebrew and the Greek, and doing their best to make it as literal as possible. Specifically, NASB, ESV are very literal translations, which means that sometimes they can be a little bit harder to read and understand because it's literal. Whereas, let's go on the very other end of it. Maybe you've heard of the Message Bible. The Message Bible, I would personally not call a translation. It should not be called a translation. A paraphrase would be a good thing, or even a commentary. It is a group of people, their commentary, or their how they took it and put it in a way you can understand and read clearly the Word of God. So someone would say, is the Message a bad Bible to read? I think to read, to help you understand, or maybe if you read something and you say, I wonder what the Message says about that because I don't understand it, it could be helpful to understand a portion of Scripture. But that is not a good Bible to study because it's not written in that sort of literal way where you can do a word study out of the Message Bible because that's not what it does, right? The Passion Translation is another, it's a paraphrase. It shouldn't be called translation, but it's a great Bible and it focuses you on Jesus, but not every verse or portion of Scripture does that in the literal words. So you wouldn't read the Passion Translation as your all-the-time study Bible, but it can be really encouraging and uplifting and build faith within you. It's a great version. It's just it's not a literal study sort of Bible. And so there's all of these translations, and most of them are great. They're fine. It just depends what you can connect with. But I want to encourage you. I think everybody should have as little of a translation as possible, like an ESV or an ASB, because you can understand it more richer and deeper, and it will help you in then saying, I need to know what that means. I need to know what that is. And you can really study out of a more literal translation. So don't get caught up in the translation. If you're reading the Bible and you're moving, it's good, then great. If you're reading the Message, keep doing it. But maybe when you're done, then go back and read an NASB or an ESV and watch just the truth. It's the same thing, but a different way of saying it. And you'll learn different things and grow in different ways. So our manuscripts are so good. They're so right. They're not original, but they're so clean and they're amazing. And then our translations are what we read in our Bible. I just want to touch on that real fast. Then we're going to go to our last thing this morning, looking back, coming to the Bible with the knowledge that there is a God, a belief that God has spoken to us, and that last thing, an understanding of the unique importance of the book of Genesis. When we look at the Bible, starting all the way at the beginning, Genesis tells us so much. In fact, when we think about it, almost all important doctrines and teachings have their formation in the book of Genesis. The doctrines of sin, redemption, justification, Jesus Christ, the personality and personhood of God, the kingdom of God, the fall, the Israel, the promise of the Messiah, and more. That so much that is foundational to who we are. In fact, it also shows the origins of the universe. Order and complexity, the solar system, the atmosphere and hydrosphere, the origin of life, man, marriage, evil, language, government, culture, nations, and religion. We need Genesis to guide and to shape what the Word of God is, to understand it. We need Genesis to truly understand who we are called to be. In fact, it is precisely because people have abandoned the truth of Genesis that society is in such disarray. When we throw out this book and the truths and the foundational elements of what Genesis speaks, we just can't have the full grasp of what God wants to speak. We can't understand Him like we should. And our goal is here that over the next several months, we're going to look at Genesis. We're going to look at the beginning, and we're going to point forward to Jesus. We're going to talk a lot about Jesus in this study on Genesis, because I think you almost have to. It's so good. But when we get the foundational element, put some doctrine on the base level, we can watch as maybe some questions in your life are answered. Maybe some things that you didn't understand before, all of a sudden, oh, I get it. I understand why. Maybe some areas of your life, the answer comes to you. And I want us to close before we take communion this morning with some words of Jesus as He speaks to the importance of what Moses wrote. In John 5:46 and 47, it says, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" This is what Jesus spoke. And my prayer is that as a church family, we're going to solidify some things and say, oh, I understand why. Oh, I get it. I didn't even know where that was. Or I didn't know where that story was. There may also be things where you say, Lord, I'm going to have to grow. I'm going to have to let your word be true because that's a little different than I thought. I didn't realize. Maybe even I didn't realize how far off I was of the word. And if we take Jesus' words to heart, if you did not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Then, Lord, let your word, the Pentateuch, let starting in Genesis, let it help mold me and make me a deeper follower of Jesus because I understand the basis. I understand the bottom level. I understand all that God wants to do and what he did throughout the Bible makes sense and it's put in the right framework when we understand the book of Genesis. And so my prayer for us today is that this week, let God speak to you through his word. Let the power of God show up in you and through you because it is real and it is right and it is powerful. There's nothing better than the word of God. And let's let his word become all things in our life. If you have a problem, come to the word. Let Jesus speak to you. If you need a touch in your body, come to the word. Look what he says. Look what he speaks to you. If you just don't know what to do, come to the word. Let him show himself in your life. We need the word of God because we have a God that is live and he's still speaking today. And he wants to speak to you. So don't go to other people. Maybe they can help, fine, but go to God. Let God speak into your life. We need the Lord Jesus to show up in us. And this morning, we're going to close our time together by taking communion. And if you don't have a communion cup, our ushers are coming forward right now, and they have communion cups that you can get from them. But you know, when I think about communion and I think about it on a day like today when we're talking about the power of the Word of God, communion is about communing. It's about sitting with Jesus. Communion is about talking with him. Communion is about remembering him. Communion is about remembering what he did, but then realizing where we are and that the future is going to be great with Jesus. Communion is not about a ritual thing we do about once a month at Radiant Life Church or anywhere else, but it's about remembering him and remembering I will walk with him for the rest of my life. I want to experience the power of God. I need him. And this morning, my prayer is that this would be a reminder that God wants to get with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants his word to become real in your life. He wants the power of God to show up in such a supernatural way. But church, we have to sit with him and commune with him. How are we going to hear and know if we don't ever sit down and let him speak into our life? And then we get to know that when we sit with him, that his spirit keeps speaking and keeps talking and keeps directing. It's that whole when I read the word and I read it again, the same thing, and he speaks something different. The application is different. He's real and alive. He loves you. He's got the best things in store for you. And my prayer is that while we are here and thinking, and we'll take this in just a moment, that we say, Lord, whatever it is today that you want to speak to me, would you do it? Those things that we saw in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, I need those, all of them. What do you need to speak to my life today? I want it. If I need corrected, in fact, if you need to ask for forgiveness, I would encourage you before we take this together, ask him, Lord, would you forgive me? Maybe you need to text somebody and ask for forgiveness. Maybe you need to commit, Lord, I'm gonna take care of that problem. Don't leave today without making your heart right. Maybe you need guidance or direction. Commune with the Lord. Let his word make you new. If maybe you say, yeah, I like the Bible, but I like some of it. I don't like other parts. Today is the day to say, Lord, I'm going to commit, not to some, but to the literal inherency of the word of God in my life, which means it's got power over what I want. And I lay myself down before him. In fact, maybe today you're here and you say, you know what? I think I've never given my life to Jesus. I think you know if you've never given your life. And he would come, and the Bible says that he knocks on your heart. And if you need to give him the full reins of your life, if you want to make him the Lord of your life, there's no better day than today. There's no better time than right now before we would take communion. That's what we're celebrating, the goodness of God. And so before we take this together, if you're in the room, and maybe we could just bow our heads, close our eyes, just as a way of focusing on Jesus. And if you are a believer, pray right now. If there's somebody in this room that they need Jesus, that they would be able to say yes. And if you're here and you say, I've never given my life to Jesus, I'm just going to ask you, only thing I ask you to do is to boldly raise your hand, catch my eye. I just would love to see you so we can pray together. I'm going to start on my left. Anybody in this section, you say, I need Jesus. I want to give my life to him. This is the greatest thing. This is what we're here as a church for. Anybody? Okay, on my right section, your left section, anybody in this section, you say, that's me. I want to raise my hand. I want to say, I need Jesus. I don't see any hands this morning, so I'm going to assume we are all believing and followers, or we're asking the Lord, show me your way. This morning as we take his cup, as we take the bread, I'm always reminded when I look in Matthew chapter 26 specifically, on the same page in my Bible, right before Judas is set to betray Jesus. Jesus is sitting there. He tells him. He knows. He knows it's coming. And you know, I think the 12, or not then 11 beyond Judas and Jesus, the 12, they could have taken Judas. They didn't have to let him go. But no, Jesus knew the will of God and said, go do what you are to do. And even in that moment, he took his body. He took the bread. He tore it into pieces. Do this in remembrance of me. He took the cup. To signify his shed blood. He loves you. And if you're here and there's any part of you that just isn't sure, going back to Pastor Dave, to his word, don't quit. Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you. Don't quit. And in fact, do what May, the word she got, and go deeper into the things of God. Get into his word. Let it transform you. Be powerful. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Go all in with the message of the gospel in your life, but then watch as you start talking to him about others. Watch as he transforms you. And so if today even you feel like, man, I feel like there's a betrayal in my life, there's something weighing me down, like Jesus, can we come before his table and can we celebrate the goodness of God? Can we remember him, what he did, which means today and in the future he's going to continue it, the power of God, his resurrection power. Matthew 26:26 says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup when he had given thanks and he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Today, we remember him, his love, his goodness, his power. And if you need a touch from God, if you need a healing in your body, if you need a relationship restored, if you need sin gotten out, I'm believing right now that God is going to heal and restore and make you new. So, Lord, we ask you that as we remember you, as we commune with you, Lord, not once a month, but, Lord, daily, hourly, Lord, all day, every day, Lord, help us to focus on you, what you did, who you are, but who you are now and what you're calling us to, who you're calling us to be. So, Lord, anything that we need to get out of our life, we repent. We ask you to take it. Lord, anything that should not be, or maybe anything we have not done that you've called us to, Lord, we say, yes, we're going to do what you've called us to do. Lord, as we remember your sacrifice, Lord, maybe we just wanted to sneak in, sneak out this whole Christian walk. That's how we live. Lord, not anymore. Lord, we want to be like you, and we'll give it all, no matter what the cost. We remember you. We remember what you did, your broken body, your shed blood. We praise you. We lift you up and exalt you. Church, let's take the bread this morning. Let's eat together. Let's take the cup, remembering his shed blood that he poured out for us. Lord, one more time, we're thankful. We're thankful that we get to celebrate you. Lord, we're thankful, and I pray that each person in this room would be empowered, Holy Spirit, to be led by you, directed by you, to experience you, Lord, let us know you more and more. Let the truth of your word become real. And even as we dive into the book of Genesis as a church, Lord, let us dive into your word every single day. Lord, in our homes, in our cars, wherever we would go, Lord, let your word become real. Let us know you so we can share you with the world around us. Lord, we love you. Thank you that your word is still valuable and true and applicable today, God. Lord, your words of life, we love you. In your name we pray, amen and amen. The ushers are going to come forward, and you can give them your cup if you would like to. And I just want to say thank you for being here today. I'm looking forward to Genesis. If you're not actively in a Bible study, I encourage you just to start reading Genesis. It'd be a good place to start. We're going to be looking through, and let the Word of God become real. If you need a Bible app, YouVersion is amazing. Just the Bible app, I think it is called as well. It is phenomenal. ESV, good study translation. Find one that you can read, enjoy. Get into Genesis. Study it. Let it become real in your life. The Bible, the Word of God, He'll transform you and make you new. Well, this week, church, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. See you again next week.